Go back to your seats clapping and rejoicing and thanking God for all he's done. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's so worthy of praise and honor and glory, and it all belongs to him. He's been so faithful to make sure that we are provided for and we are protected. So let's try something. I wonder if it's possible to bless the Lord without the praise team up here. Is that possible? Can we pull it off? Can we pull it off without instruments? Can we pull it off without a praise team? Can we stand to our feet without a praise team and bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me? I will bless the Lord. We don't need drums to bless the Lord. We don't need a guitar to bless the Lord. We don't need a keyboard to bless the Lord. He gave us two hands to clap, and he gave us a voice to lift up, and we should bless the Lord at all times. Thank you, Lord. He's so worthy of praise. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Praise is a weapon. Praise calls upon the name of the Lord, and he always saves those that call upon his name. Praise God. Thank you so much for being at New Life Christian Ministries this morning. We welcome those watching online as well. We're excited to praise our God. Regardless of what's going on the outside, we're burning on the inside, because we know that the end of the story, that we win, and the reason that we win is because God wins, right? Has anybody checked the Bible to see if any of the words have changed? I don't think the words have changed. I don't think the news that's going on in this country is bad enough to make heaven say, you know what? I don't know if I can save these people. I still think that the word of God says that the earth belongs to the Lord and the fullness thereof. I still think the Bible says that Jesus Christ was crowned Lord, and he's been given all power and authority on the earth and under the earth and above the earth. I don't think anything that CNN or Fox can produce can change the verses in the Bible. For the word of God says that every jot and every tittle shall be fulfilled in his word. God is not a man that he should lie. And if you've been losing courage, I would encourage you to tune out of the news and tune into the gospel, because the gospel is the good news. Can you say good news? The gospel is the good news. It's the best station going and the best information there is in the universe, because it does not fail. You see, the news is the opinions of men and women, but the word of God is the truth, because it has come from the mouth of God. And the word of God says that everything that proceeds from the mouth of God is life for the believer, and none of it will be unfulfilled. So every word of God never returns back to him void. It always does what it says it can do. So if God says that no disease can come near my dwelling, then that's what I believe, and it will not return to God void. So my question for you this morning is, what are you believing? What are you believing? Whose report will you believe? For our visitors today, I'm not shouting at you. I'm just excited. Nobody's in trouble but the devil. Amen. Amen. So today's message is a continuation of last Sunday's message, which was be fruitful and multiply. Can you say that with me? Be fruitful and multiply. Father, we pray over those words right now. We pray, Father God, that we will be able to be fruitful and to multiply. And we're not talking about multiplying children. We're talking about multiplying children of God. And I thank you, God, that you have called us to be disciple makers in this land. I thank you, Father God, that not a march or a protest can change the heart of men, but only the King, God, can turn the heart of a man. So, Lord, I thank you that you have called us to be salt and light in this earth. And as we go out
as we go out, as the church hits the street, God, carrying the light of God and the salt of the Lord, then we make a difference in darkness. And that which has not been seasoned with God's love will be seasoned as we rub elbows, Father God, with those who don't know you. So our prayer this morning is that you would multiply yourself in this earth through your children. May faith come by the hearing of this word. I thank you that of the four types of soils that there are, that in this house and listening online is good ground. And as the word goes forth in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you that as soon as the seed of the word of God makes contact with the soil, that it will germinate and begin to produce fruit, God, and that fruit will bring you glory. We thank you, God, for marching orders. We thank you, God, that we didn't come to listen and listen only, for we are not hearers of the word only, but doers of the word. So may we do as we hear, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Be fruitful and multiply. There's a song that came out many years ago, and I'm not sure who sang the song now. I just know that Jackie D. Shannon wrote it. And the name of that song is "What the World Needs Now is Love." Let me read these lyrics to you. I didn't even realize how God-inspired and God-filled this song was. Listen to these words. "What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love, not just for some, but for everyone. Not just for some, not just the people that know about God's love, but everyone. Lord, we don't need another mountain. There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb. There are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last till the end of time. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for who? Everyone. Lord, we don't need another meadow. There are cornfields and wheat fields enough to grow. There are sunbeams and moonbeams enough to shine. Oh, listen, Lord, if you want to know. What the world needs now is what? Love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little love. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for who, church? Everyone. Now listen, the only way that the world will be full of love is to be full of God. Because God is love. And the method that God has chosen to fill the world with his love is to fill his people with his love. So say this with me, church. Lord, fill me with your love. The song says that the only thing that there's just too little of is love. And God is love. And his method of filling the world with love is to fill his people with love. Amen? So the more fruitful, godly people are, the more lovely the world becomes. I'll say it again. The more fruitful that we are after reproducing after our new kind, the new creation we are in Christ, the more lovely the world becomes. So that lets me know that a politician can't fill the world with God's love. An organization cannot fill the world with God's love. The only thing that can fill the world with God's love is the one that he filled with his love, and that is us. We who are led by the Spirit of God are the true offspring of God, and we must be fruitful and multiply. You must tell others about Jesus Christ. You must be fruitful and multiply. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11, and it says this. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. So there it is right in the Bible. How do you fill the world with love? By loving each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us And his love is brought to full expression in us. Somebody say strategy. So the strategy of getting the world the love that it needs is that we have to love each other. So whether the person is white or black, love them. Whether the person is straight or gay, love them. Whether the person is an alcoholic or sober, love them. Because the only thing that can change them is the love of God. Legislation doesn't change the heart of the man. Only God can change a man's heart. And God will express himself through those who he has called to be like him. If we love each other, God lives in us. Verse 13. And God has given us his spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Say this with me. I must testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Listen, brothers and sisters, it's not that hard. That's how you spread the love of God. You tell other people that God sent his only begotten Son to save the world. We must testify. All of us have to do a better job of testifying. We must tell people more and more and more about God, and that's how the love of God spreads throughout the earth. Let's continue. Verse 14. Furthermore, we have seen him with our eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who declare, say this with me, I must declare. So listen, a child is born through the intimacy of a husband and a wife. That's how they become fruitful and multiply. The way that a spirit man, the way that a child of God becomes fruitful and multiply, we just saw two words of how they do it. They testify and they declare. You testify and you declare. That's how you produce the offspring for God. You have to tell somebody about him. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The singing wasn't good, but the message was. That's why I preach and not on the praise team. Let's continue. Verse 16. We know. So what are we testifying about? Verse 16. We know how much God loves us, and we put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, because we can face him with confidence, because we live like Jesus here in this world. So as Jesus was in this world, so are we. Now, when I was a sinner and I thought about dying and I thought about being in the line of judgment, I could just hear my own knees knocking. Like, oh man, I'm not ready. This is not gonna go well. It's just like being in a classroom, and instead of studying for the test, you get there the next day and they say, pop quiz, put your papers away, get out your pencils. How many got nervous right there? Like, I haven't heard that in a long time, but you just scared me. All right? So that's the same thing that happens when we die. The test is over. There's no more studying. And if you die unsaved, you're in trouble. And you don't want to meet God when you're not saved, because we don't want to fall into the hands of an angry God. So what we want to do while we have time to study is get saved and live our life the way that Jesus Christ did, because your word just said here that we live like Jesus here in this world. Verse 18. Such love has no fear. Say this with me. Love has no fear. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. So I want to tell you that. Anytime you get afraid of anything, what I want you to think about is love. Think about love anytime you're afraid, and it melts it. It expels all fear. Let's continue. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. So anytime we are afraid, it just means we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first. So why do we love people? Because he loved us first. Verse 20, if once someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. What are they? A liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? So if you can see a Hispanic person and not love them and say that you're a child of God, you're a liar. If you can see a white person and not love them, you're a liar. If you can see a black person and you say that you're saved and God lives in you, you're a liar. Because if you can't love those you can see, then how can you love God who you cannot see? Amen. Verse 21, and he has given us this command. Love those who love, those who love God must also love their fellow believers. So, love came down. So, God is love. And the way that God was going to get love back on this earth is he had to come down. So, God's plan to fill the world with love meant he had to come to earth himself. Because God is love, and all love originates with God, just like all life originated with God. Let's go to John chapter 1, please. And we're in the New Living Translation, John chapter 1. And it says this, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So let me tell you something. The Word is Jesus. So it's talking about Jesus there in John 1. I'll say it again. In the beginning, Jesus already existed. Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Let me read it the way it's written. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man. And listen, not only did God send a man, but he sent a woman. And I'm not talking about John the Baptist right now. I'm talking about you, whatever your name is. God sent you to this earth and saved you that you might testify about the man called Jesus Christ. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. Because of his what? The way we reproduce is through our testimony and our declaration. You've got to tell people about God. So if a husband and wife got married, and the husband lived in New York, and the wife lived in Los Angeles, and that's where they always lived the whole marriage, there would be no children, would there? So if you never tell anybody about God, there can be no children. So a man and woman reproduce by coming together. We reproduce after spiritual beings by saying, Jesus Christ can save you. So perfect love casts out fear. Say this with me. Lord, the fear that I have about telling people about you, may it be broken by your love in Jesus' name. Amen. So what I just prayed for you is the same prayer I prayed for Olivia, because Olivia and Evan were barren. Raise that baby up. That's baby number two. Olivia could not have children, but we prayed for her and her husband, and we said, Lord, may this couple be able to fulfill the command that you gave a man and a woman to be fruitful and multiply, and they've done it twice. Now, I'm praying for you, church, to be fruitful and to multiply, but we've got to be bold, and we've got to tell people about Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, let's keep going. Verse 8, John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Say, that's me. Verse 13, they are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. Verse 14 now. So the Word, or Jesus, became human, or flesh, and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. So that means this: if we are like Jesus was when he was in this world, the Word of God says that he was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. Make this declaration with me. I am full of unfailing love and faithfulness. Amen. It goes on to say that they saw his glory when they saw Jesus. They saw the Father in his glory, and the glory of the Father is one and only Son. Let's move on now to Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 28. And it says this: and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. I'm looking at Rose back here. Her mother went into the hospital yesterday or the day before, came out the same day. Do you know why? Because all things work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Verse 29. For God knew his people in advance. So listen, he knew you in advance. Before your parents knew you, God knew you. He knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his Son. That's the plan. The plan is that God would create humans in this world, and that a select few of them would become just like his Son. Say, that's me. Your goal is to become like Jesus. Your goal is not to just be a sinner saved by grace. Your goal is to become like Jesus. We have to stop aiming so low. The Bible says that Jesus was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and that has to be our aim as well. So he chose them to become like his Son, that his Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chose them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. This is good news, man. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. So we are glory carriers. Just like Jesus carried the glory of God, so do we. Do you know why? Because Jesus is our big brother. How do we know that? Because he was the firstborn of the dead. And we are his brothers and sisters. And yes, God. And as Jesus Christ carried the glory of God, that is our expectation to be glory carriers in this earth as well. So I know some of you are Republicans, and I know some of you are Democrats, and I know some of you are white, and I know some of you are black, but you didn't come here to represent that. You came here to be a glory carrier. He called you by name. He saved you that you might be like his son. So never let your political affiliation disregard that you came to display the glory of God in this earth. Period. Amen? Again, I'm not yelling at you. I just get excited. Now listen to this. 2,000 years ago, God became a man named Jesus Christ. Spirit became flesh. This was done to introduce a new creation of people in the earth, the redeemed sons and daughters of the Most High God. So, since spirit became human, now human must become spirit. Whew. I'll let that sink in for a minute before I say it again. God sent his only begotten son named Jesus, who was spirit, to this earth as flesh. Now what must happen is us who were human must become spirit. And how was that done? I'm glad you asked. Let's go to John chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1, there was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. So this lets us know that the glory of God was on Jesus Christ, and men and women recognize the glory. And the reason they recognize the glory is because signs and wonders followed Jesus Christ. How do we know that we're glory carriers now? Because the word of God says this: them who believe, okay, signs and wonders will follow those that believe. So the same glory that Jesus walked in on this earth, we're capable of walking in that glory as well. So it means this, that you can lay your hands upon the sick and they will recover. Why? Because you've been given the glory of God. And we are supposed to be like Jesus was in this earth. So maybe we should stop focusing on being a good this and a good that and focus on being a good glory carrier. The glory has to work because the glory is from God, and we just only need to be full of love and faith. Say this with me: Lord, fill me with love and faith. Love and faith releases the glory. How do I know this? Because the Bible says that as Jesus went from town to town, that he was moved with compassion. Compassion is another word for love. And as he was moved with compassion, he would heal the lame. He would raise the dead. He would rebuke demons, all because the glory of God was all over him. And I'm trying to tell you this, that the glory of God is also on them that believe after Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. We've got the glory of God in our lives. Not so that we can be praised, but so that men and women can turn their hearts to God and say, there must be a God. The doctor said I would never walk again. There must be a God. The doctor said I could not have children. There must be a God. The doctor said I would die at 55 and I'm 70. There must be a God. The glory that God gave Jesus, he gave to Jesus's little brothers and sisters too. And that's us. Amen? Amen. Let's continue. Verse 2. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, But the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, you must be born again. Tell your opposite neighbor, you must be born again. This is what allows us to know that there is a second birth, a supernatural birth, not birth because Mary Jane and Joey John, I hope there's nobody named Joey John here. That's kind of a weird name and kind of funny. Mary Jane and Joey John fell in love and they had children and they reproduced because that's what God said would happen. That's not the kind of birth we're talking about. We're talking about another birth that God said would happen. And it's a supernatural birth. And it's when a man decides that he's going to accept Jesus Christ as his Savior, he becomes born again. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45, and we're winding down. 1 Corinthians 15, 45. The scriptures tell us the first man, Adam, who was the first man? The first man, Adam, became a living person. But the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. So everybody that was born after Adam in this world. But everybody that's born again has to be born after Jesus. Because Adam produces flesh and blood, but Jesus produces the spirit. So we must be born again. Matthew 4 and 4 says this. Now remember at the beginning when I said that nothing came into this world unless it was from the Word, and the Word was at the beginning, and the Word was with God, and He was God. Remember I said all that about the Word? Okay? And now we just learned that Adam can only produce more Adams, and the only thing that can produce more Christ is Jesus himself because he gives life in the spirit. Well, listen to the revelation God gave me this morning about Matthew 4 and 4. It says this, but Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say people do not live or have life by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So it is the Word that gives life. And Jesus Christ is the Word. So Satan had no hope at causing Jesus Christ to sin or fail because he was the Word. And the Word does not fail. Let's go on to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is our closing, actually. Nobody better start clapping and get excited. This is our closing. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 46 through 58. Listen to this. What comes first is the natural body. Then the spiritual body comes later. Adam, the first man, was made from the dust of the earth, while Christ, the second man, came from heaven. Earthly people are like the earthly man, and heavenly people are like the heavenly man. Just as we are now like the earthly man, we will someday be like the heavenly man. What I am saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. How long, church? Forever. Verse 51. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then, can you say then? Then, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, the scripture will be fulfilled. Jesus is the scripture. Jesus is the word. Jesus never lied. Everything that Jesus said will come true. So this is saying what the Lord has said will be fulfilled. And here's what Jesus said. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death. And the law gives sin its power. But thank God, can somebody say thank God? But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. So what I'm trying to tell you, brothers and sisters, is that we've got work to do. We know that Black lives matter. We know that white lives matter. We know that Hispanic lives matter. And the reason that they matter is not because we say so. The reason that they matter is because Jesus went to a cross and died for every single one of us. That's where our value comes from. That's how we know that we matter, because we were lost and we were in sin and we were without help and we were without a savior. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that those who will believe in him shall not perish but shall have everlasting life. And then it will be said again, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting?